Well, we actually get to open our Bibles tonight. Oh, my Lord. Open up to John chapter 14. I hope you're still going through doing the homework assignment. Reading again and again, John 13 through 17. I just keep going through it again and again. And then in my prayer time, things start floating up out of it. So, praise God. Now, the title of tonight's lesson, Angie will like this. I don't always have a title, but I have tonight. The title is, I will manifest myself to you. Do you know that's a promise? I will, Jesus talking, I will manifest myself to you. So where you find that is John 14, verse 21. And we'll just pick it up there. He said, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and here it is, and will manifest myself to him. Well, let's make it personal. How many of you love him? Better raise your hand. We'll have an altar call. Come on now. Well, are you keeping his commandments? You don't have to raise your hand on that one. Probably half a hand, you know. Well, some of them. Anyway, moving on. We do love him, though. And aren't we striving to keep his commandments in fullness? We are. Well, if you're a person that loves him and keeping his commandments, that promise, is it not to you? Now, see, what you got to realize, he's talking with them. He's standing there in the body. You talk about manifested. He is manifested, fully manifested to them. And he's telling them in this passage, these chapters, that he's leaving. And of course, that's got to be unsettling to them. And he's trying to introduce them to the Holy Spirit. And he promises them, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. But he's coming in a different way. He's coming by the agency of the Holy Spirit. But he's promising them here. Yes, sir. Okay. Now I'm going to let's read two more verses. See, verse 22. Judas said unto him, it's not Iscariot, another person named Judas. And he asked the good question. Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Now again, look up at me for just a minute. He's talking to the manifested Christ. I mean, he's fully manifested. And he's going, now, but I'm leaving. What? Don't worry, I'm going to manifest myself to you. You know, I'd be going, just stay. But we know he couldn't, because he said later on, he says, if I don't leave, the Comforter will not come to you. I like to say it this way now. God, the Holy Ghost that lives in me, will not be able to live in you. I have to go. But still, staying with tonight's lessons, he's standing there fully manifested, but I'm leaving. That had to be distressing. But he says, but if you have my commandments and keep them, you'll be loved by me and my Father, and I will manifest myself to you. Well, good, perfect question. How? If you're leaving, how does that work? What do you mean you're going to manifest yourself? Now let's look up, I looked up the word manifest, just so you'll know, so I would know too, and it's Strong's number G1718, and I looked up the pronunciation, it's infinizo. That doesn't help at all. I'm not learning Greek, you're not either, but anyway. Here's what it means. Now I'm going to give you the whole thing, but I like the first part the best. The first meaning of it is, to exhibit in person. Well, he's standing there exhibiting in person to them. But he said, I'm going to exhibit myself in person to you again. It'll be a different way. But it is me exhibiting in person. Okay. Let me read the whole thing. So that's the first meaning, to exhibit in person or disclose by words. It can mean to appear. How many of you know he appeared several times to different disciples? I'm thinking about Ananias, a disciple. That's all we ever know about him, man. Not the one that with the money thing, but the one that wound up laying hands on Saul of Tarsus so he could be filled with the Holy Ghost and receive his sight. He just says it, a disciple named Ananias. But Jesus appeared to him. Well, he can appear to you. And it says exhibit in person. Okay? So to appear, to declare, to plainly inform, will manifest, show, and signify. Okay? So he's trying to answer the question, how? What do you mean, how are you going to manifest to us and not the world? See, because in his current form, while he's standing there talking with them, he's also manifested to the world. Isn't that right? I mean, anybody can see him, touch him, handle him. But now he said, I'm going to manifest myself to you. And he says, well, how are you going to manifest to us and not to the world? Okay, well, continuing, verse 23. So Jesus answered him. And notice he goes right back to the same thing again. If a man what? Love me. He will keep my words. Or you could say he will obey my commandments. He will keep my words. My Father will love him. Now notice now he expands it. And we will come to him. See, when this passage ends over in John 17, it ends with I in them, Father, thou in me. We will come to him. Now notice, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. But let's focus on, we will come unto him and make our abode with him. So I looked up the word abode, and that's Strong's number G3438. It's spelled M-O-N-E, but it's pronounced Mone. And it means a staying, that is, a residence. Now it can mean the act or the place. The staying itself, that means the staying itself or the place where I stay. Can mean both, okay? Now get this. Dash, it means abode, comma, mansion. Now that word mansion, a little Baptist boy in Sunday school perked up, said, I've heard this before. And of course, that's going back to John 14 too. I looked it up to see if it's the same word. It is. Same word, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Now notice, I go to prepare a place for you. Now see, the word mansions is not the best translation. It just means a permanent dwelling place. It means a residence. We just read it, what that word means, a residence. When Dave would teach on this, he said, don't focus on the word mansion the way we think of it in English. This is talking about sonship. And what Jesus is doing is going to prepare a place for us in his Father's house so that his Father can become our Father. And now we have a place as sons in the Father's house. Whew. Thank God for Pastor Dave Roberson. But now the way he's saying it, he's saying the word, if I changed it from mansion, in my Father's house are many abodes. What if I said, if my Father's house are many rooms, I'm going to prepare one for you. That tells me, in my Father's house, can I say in heaven? There's already a room for me. There's a place for me. I'm a son. There's a room somewhere for me. So I have a room in my Father's house in heaven. But you know what he's saying in this passage? You have become the room for the Father on earth. You are the abode. You are the residence. Well, how do I become the abode? Just because I said a prayer one time 20 years ago and I've never obeyed him since. No. How do you become a permanent dwelling place for God the Father and the Son, so that the Son can manifest, exhibit in person Himself in you. He that loves me. It all comes. Remember this morning's lesson? He that loves me keeps my commandments. So on earth, each of us is the room for the Father and the Son. We have an abode, a room in heaven, a place, because we're sons. Our citizenship is there, not here. But through us, the Father has an abode, each of us, abode, a residence on earth. And He intends to... Yes, sir. Boy, this is good. See, when Jesus would do the works, and they would say, He would say, it's not really me. It's the Father in me. He's doing the works. And then He said, if you don't believe that, at least believe me for the work's sake. And what I'm seeing right now, those works were was God the Father exhibiting Himself in person through Christ. In John 17, near the end of this passage, Jesus says, I have glorified you on the earth. Here He says, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. The Father is exhibiting Himself. He's manifesting Himself through me, because Jesus at that moment was the home, the residence, the abode of the Father by the Holy Spirit. Now, we know the Father's in heaven, but it's the Father in me by the Holy Spirit. And He's just saying the same operation is going to happen in you. But now it's going to be me in you, Christ in us, and the Father in Christ. But notice every time how He links it up with love and obedience. Love and obedience. If a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him. See, look at the sequence. Do you love Him? Every Christian I know would say yes. Are you keeping His commandments? Most Christians would go some of them. Many would say yes and lying when they say it. What do you mean by that? Luke 6:27. Love your enemies. That's where He's been dealing with me the strongest right now. I'll get to that in a minute. I'm working on it. I'm going through, y'all remember, y'all. Take the boy out of the south. All y'all, hear me now. You remember in the early days when He was teaching me about forgiveness, and there was this couple that I just could not forgive, and there was nothing in me. And He said, well, you're not going to go very far with me unless you forgive them. And I said, well, I don't want to forgive them. Well, you're not going to go very far with me. Well, I want to go far with you. Then you're going to have to forgive them. I don't know how to forgive them. You remember that whole deal? I said, Lord, I can't even find anything in me. I have no capacity to do that. How in the world would I even begin? And the amazing thing, He gave me the most simple instructions, just the most easy thing. I just had to obey it. And He says, every time you think of them, just ask me to bless them. That was it. You ever tried not to think of somebody? Immediately, of course, I thought of them. I said, okay. Now, it starts off by commandment. It started off just by obedience, because He told me to do it. I said, okay, Father, I thought of them. I'm asking you to bless them, but you know I don't mean it, because I didn't want to be a hypocrite, and I knew He knew anyway. But still, lightning bolt didn't come and cinder block me or anything, okay. Well, a little while later, I thought of them again. All right. I thought of them. Father, I call her name out in front of you, before you, and I ask you to bless them. And I still don't mean it. I don't know how long that went on. It wasn't more than a day or two. Every now and then I'd think of them again. I would just obey. At that point, it's obedience by command. Obedience by command. I'm just doing it. I didn't really, at that moment, love them, to be honest with you. But I loved Him enough to obey the command. Okay? But it's obedience by commandment at that point. But the most amazing thing began to happen. and it didn't take all that long. Over the course of just a day or two, maybe three, I remember when this happened. I thought of them again. I said, Lord, okay, I thought of them. I'm asking you to bless them. But this time it was something like this. Well, I guess I mean it a little bit. Okay, I don't really want them to go to hell or anything. I guess you can bless them a little. It was big for me. It may not mean anything to you. But my heart started an adjustment. And as I continued to obey that instruction, the love that the Father had for them began to come into me. And to be honest with you, it was more than that, because only then, as that happened, did the blinders start coming off of my eyes. Because up until that moment, I sincerely thought I was completely right in that whole situation. They were purely wrong in the whole situation. They did me terrible. I was the injured one. But he began opening up, only then did he begin opening up my eyes slowly, where I could see my part. Dear God, by the time he got through showing me my part in the whole thing, I was more concerned about praying for me. I was more concerned about me receiving forgiveness than them. See? Well, that's a transformation. And it really did work. We're friends to this day. Well, that's not far off from what he's saying right here. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And it may start off commandment by obedience. But if you obey him, it's not going to stay that way, especially if you spend time in worship. Especially if what he said was, now, let's just stay with what he said. Okay? I'm going to read it again. Here's the question. How are you going to manifest? Okay, I'm going to take it personal. Jesus, you said right here that there is a way for you to manifest yourself to me. You will, Gary Carpenter, I'm not talking about you, talking about me. Right here, it's possible where you can manifest yourself to me. How? I'm going to ask the same question as Judas there. How are you going to do that? So, Gary, if you love me, you will keep my words. And my Father will love you. And we will come to you, Gary. And we will make our home, our residence, not our vacation spot, not a temporary thing. We will make our home in you. He says, now he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. So I keep going back to that original thing that happened all those years ago. I was most certainly not obeying him because I loved those people. I was mad at them. I was upset with them. I didn't want to forgive them. I didn't see the truth at all. I just saw it the way that I saw it, and I knew I was right, and I didn't want to hear your two cents either. But he gave me a command. And at that moment, I didn't really love them, but I did love him. So he gave me a command. Gary, do you love me? Yes, sir. You going to do what I tell you? Yes, sir. I'm not real happy about it, but okay, I'll do it. Then he made the adjustments as time went on. See, that's what he says. That's how it starts. It starts by obedience. And I'm going to show you a verse that hardly anybody ever preaches on because it's too scary. Go over to Acts chapter 5, verse 32. How many of you would like to have more manifestation of the Holy Spirit? I know I would. I've got some manifestation. I know you too. We can all speak with tongues some of you have prophesied. Some of you, the gifts of the Spirit flow through you at various times. We all have, in a measure, the Holy Spirit, but I want a whole lot more than I have now. I want my cup to run over. Tasha Cobbs has got a song. Is that her name, Tasha? Love that song. I want to run over with, fill me up, Lord, fill me up. I want to run over. I want to run over like Peter run over. He run over so much, he just walked down the street and they got the sick in shadow length and they got healed. Let's spill over like that. But here's an amazing verse, Acts 5:32. And Peter's preaching. Long message, sort of, but he says, we are witnesses of these things, now notice, and so is the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that what? To them that obey him. Nobody, when's the last time you heard that verse preached? To them that obey him. See, I keep thinking about that situation. I'm going back to that one where I didn't want to forgive that couple. That was a long time ago. That was 40 years ago. Now, if I had refused to obey that instruction, I had his command. It's my choice to obey it or not obey it. Hallelujah. Because I did obey it, he was able to work what he does. It's a supernatural thing. Because I think back on my life, had I chosen not to obey it, you know what happens with unforgiveness? It's like a cancer. It becomes bitterness. It becomes gall. I'm not even sure I would still be on the planet, but I can almost certainly assure you I would not be in ministry. And if I was, it would just be a man-made thing, nothing to do with the Holy Ghost. See, he gives the Holy Ghost to those that obey him. Now, I know we all have the Holy Ghost, but see, we're looking for a manifestation beyond where we've been walking. Where the blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk. This gospel, he said, this gospel shall be preached to all the nations. Well, this gospel is not in word only. It's in demonstration of the Spirit and in power. For tonight's lesson, this gospel is where God gets to manifest himself. Manifest himself. Now, Jesus made it very clear. Those that love him keep his commandments. Those that love him not, do not keep his commandments. Said another way, in line with this verse, they choose not to obey him. And I could have chosen. He never forces you to do anything. I could have chosen not to obey him. Thank God I did. Now see, let's look at this one more time, then we're going to go into some difficult things. John 14, I just want to refresh your memory, verses 23 and 24. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. We will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. Now, go over to Luke 6, verse 27. So we're talking about obeying the Lord. We know later on in Luke chapter 6, that's where Jesus says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? I mean, that's an oxymoron anyway. You're my Lord, but I'm not going to do what you say. I mean, that doesn't even make sense. But he says, why do you do that? Why do you call me your Lord and do not the things which I say? And Dave, we know he'd have a longer time to preach this. He would set us up really well. Oh man, if I can just find the sayings of Jesus, I can just do what he says and I'll be blessed and he'll love me and he'll manifest himself to me. And he would go into, it's going to be, you know, Alan says, going to get a pretty wife, going to get a new car, going to get a new house. All I got to do is find his sayings and do them. Hallelujah. My house will stand. Let's see if we can find some of his sayings. You know, y'all remember this, right? And so he said, we don't have to back up very far. We can stay in the same chapter. We'll just back up a little bit and let's see if we can find some of it. Y'all can tell I've heard it, right? Let's see if we can find some of his sayings. So he would back up to Luke 6:27. But I say unto you, I think we have found his sayings right here. But I say unto you, we found his sayings. Oh boy, I'm excited. Love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you. And pray for them which despitefully use you. They don't just use you. They're doing it and enjoying it. Despite. They're doing it out of spite. Unto him that smites thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that takes away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat. Dave would say, if it takes away, he's taking it by force, by the way. I'm going to take away your car. He said, well, be sure you fill it up with gas first. That's how Dave would say it. Give to every man that asks of thee. Now notice, and of him that taketh away thy goods. And it means by force. Ask them not again. Now, I could go on, but that's enough. Oh. He that loves me. Quiet in this church now, see. He that loves me. See, this is totally opposite of the flesh. And especially our ego. What does the flesh say in each one of these situations? If you hate me, I'm going to hate you right back. You curse me, I'm going to curse you. You smite me on the cheek, I'm going to slap your teeth right out of your face. Then I'm going to call my lawyer and sue you for slapping me in the first place. You try and take something of mine, I got lawyers. Who's got lawyers? We're coming after you. See, that's the flesh. And really, in this sense, we think of the flesh, we normally think of sin. But this is ego. This is ego. How dare you? See. But yet Jesus did all those things. So, here we go again, Gary. You going to obey me? Yes, sir. I'll do that. When I do that, it's normally he says, close it. I'm not going to mention names. I could, and you'd know who I'm talking about. You probably will anyway. But see, these messages, somebody might be listening 10 years from now, and the political climate might be different, and they wouldn't know the names that I mentioned today. But in this country right now, in my mind, now this is just Gary's opinion. You may totally differ. But there are certain people in power in our nation that to me are just pure evil. Just evil. And to me, they're destroying the nation. And in the natural, I wouldn't walk across the street to spit on them if they were on fire. I might take gasoline, but that's Gary in the natural. Okay. In this season right now, and it's been going on for a while, he keeps bringing those faces. I could name them by name because he's been having me name them by name. But especially like the top five, I could list the top five, and there's no point in listing their names. You probably know. Let me just say one of them's a woman. Okay. Now two of them are a woman, to be honest. It's changed. And I'm going, God, these are enemies, not to me personally so much, but they're enemies of the cross. They're against everything that you're for. They're in favor of murdering babies. They pass laws that are directly opposite to what your word says. These are enemies, because he would bring these faces to me. And I'm going, what? I don't understand what you're trying to say to me. He said, well, are they your enemies? I went, yes. Well, are you praying for them? Are you doing what I said? No. No, I'm not actually. I'm just praying they fail. Now, is that what he said to do? For benefit of the video, there are actually people here. Is that what he said to do? No. See, in this whole passage, and again, this is all Dave, you know, Dave broke this all out for. See, when we're being persecuted, let's just stay with how he taught it. Someone slapping you on the cheek, they hate you, they curse you, they hate your gospel, they hate you and everything about you. We're going to do it our way, and we're going to strip you of your rights, which might be coming more and more. We're going to take away you're going to cancel your bank accounts. You won't even be able to have a credit card anymore. On and on and on. And they're doing all of this evil stuff to you. What does he say? Love them. My first question, well, do you? And he went, yes. And we went, how? I'm trying to be honest here. How? I said, well, I do. And I want each and every one of them in heaven. I want them all. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, that whosoever believed in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. See, if you ask them, they'd probably say they are Christian, but they're not. Gary, how can you say that? You'll know them by the fruit. It's either a fruit tree or it's not a fruit tree. These are thorn trees, for sure. He says, Gary, do you love him? I said, no. He said, will you obey me? It's just so similar. It just reminded me, took me right back to that original thing where I didn't want to pray for that couple. He says, well, will you obey me? I said, well, I'll be honest with you. It was hard. And he had me put their names, write their names out. Oh, I don't even like to say them. It's bad. It's not him in me, that part. But I had to start praying for him. Just exactly what he's saying here. I do it every morning. I don't think I miss it. Well, if I miss one in a while, don't send me to hell over it. But I'm pretty, anyone that knows me, I'm pretty diligent, you know. But I have it in my phone. I get it out every morning. It's part of my time with the Lord. Sit down on the porch with the fountain, cup of coffee. And at first it went something like, Lord, you see these names right here? I am praying for them out of sheer obedience because I love you. Lord, I don't have opportunity right now to do good to them. But I declare with my mouth that I love them with your love. I don't feel that at all. I do not feel that at all. But because of what your word says, I declare that I love them. I'm asking you to bless them. I'm not saying bless what they were trying to accomplish. But they need to be blessed with the gospel. They need to hear the truth, Lord. I know that you're not wanting any to perish. Father, I pray that you send laborers into this harvest field. And I call them out by name. Call them out by name. I said, Lord, send laborers after them. Send somebody who can penetrate that darkness. Somebody that they'll listen to. Somebody they'll respect. Somebody with an anointing that maybe they can see something. But Father, I know you're not wanting them to go to hell, not one of them. You want them all to repent. Father, I do, and then there's other things I pray from the Psalms about their works. Now, it's one thing to pray for the people. It's another thing to pray about their deeds, okay? If you want to see some we're not going to teach it tonight. Psalms 94 is a real good one. Because he says he's not going to cooperate with ungodly laws. They're not going to be able to hide just because they made it a law. Don't think God's going to cooperate with that. He doesn't expect us to cooperate with it. But that's another night. Hallelujah. But well, from what I can see of this, if we want him to... I'm going to do this. I'm going back to my Gary parable. You said, Jesus, you would manifest yourself to me. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about me. Because when it comes right down to it, that's each of us, isn't it? You said you would manifest yourself to me. He said, I said, how are you going to do that? Well, Gary, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. I love you. You could take the Pharisee role right there. I fast 2 days in the week. I give of my... I pray. You could... Okay. Yeah. Are you praying for your enemies? Silence. So through this, I have seen my absolute lack of love. I feel like the elder son. This is kind of this morning's message. When it comes to these people who are really, in my opinion, lost, I don't care how rich they are. I don't care how powerful they are. He said, you'll know the tree by its fruit. Well, this is definitely a thorn tree, all of them. If anything, they're the most, anyway. They're very opposed to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's just put it that way, no matter what they say. But it's obvious to me that I'm more like the elder son than I'd like to admit. That he has love for them that I don't have. I had to admit that. And what's the only cure for that? I got to spend time with him, which I'm doing. But I also have to obey him because he gives the Holy Spirit to those that that obey Him. So in my own personal walk right now, I don't have any personal enemies that I know of, like that other case, but I certainly have these enemies. Not only enemies to me, enemies to the gospel, enemies to the nation as far as I'm concerned. But He's not wanting them to perish. I want you to manifest yourself to me, Jesus. Okay, do you love me? Yes, I do. You want to do what I say? Yes, I will. Even though at first I don't want to do it, I didn't want to do it the other time either. But I did it anyway. And I'm in that process right now. And I just believe that I believe that the love that's in Him for them somehow is going to get transferred into me. And that will be a real metamorpho-o. That'll be a real metamorphosis for that to happen. Because I've been doing it for a while, to be honest with you. And so far, it helps not to read the headlines because they keep throwing more fuel on the fire. But Sue and I were watching a documentary a while ago about Smith Wigglesworth, and he wouldn't even let you bring a newspaper in the house. And I'm beginning to understand why. You know, because it throws fuel on the fire. He says, I just want to talk about the Lord. You can leave that newspaper outside. Yeah. Okay, we're going to finish with this. Go to Ephesians chapter 3. And this is a very famous prayer, but you got to remember, Paul was praying this prayer for Christians. This is not a prayer for unbelievers. This is a prayer for believers. And he knows we're already born again. Paul knows that we're already love Jesus. He knows that. But he still prays this prayer for us. And this has become my prayer now, more so than ever before. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. For this cause, this is Paul writing this, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you. Now see, that He would grant you. This is written to Christians. And part of me goes, haven't you already granted this? But there's no reason for Paul to pray this if there's not more that we can receive. See? That He would grant you, Christian, born-again person, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Now notice that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, if words mean anything, doesn't that mean you can be filled partially with God? Why pray the prayer? If everybody automatically, when they get saved, is automatically full with all the fullness of God. It's obvious that we're not. He's writing this to Christians. I'm going to read that verse again. And to know, how do you get filled with all the fullness of God? To know the love of Christ. See, that's why Paul said it is the love of Christ that constrains us. We were talking about that the other day. It's the love of Christ. I read that verse again. And to know, Paul in Philippians. He only had one goal left. He says, I count all my pedigree, all my past, all my education, my privileges as a Pharisee, my education level. I was trained by Gamaliel. Come on, he was the most famous at the time. I count all that but rubbish. I only have one goal now. And that is to know Him. And the word know there is the same word. Now, I'm not getting weird, but it's the same word that you use for when a man knows his wife, like Adam knew Eve. It's the most intimate word you can have for know, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection, being made conformable unto his death, to walk like him. Oh my goodness. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. And you know love passes knowledge. Sue has loved me when she had no reason to. Daily, no. Maybe not, well, several times a day, some days. Love goes past knowledge, you know that. Which passes knowledge. But it's only as we know the love of, and I mean know the love of Christ, that we're filled with all the fullness of God. Wouldn't you call that manifestation? When you're filled with all the fullness of God? Every time, Lord, how are you going to manifest to us, he that loves me? But how are you going to manifest to us, he that loves me? But how are you going to manifest to us, he that loves me? Keeps my word. It may start off with obedience. It may just be obedience by command is what I mean. It may start off just obedience by command. But eventually it's going to translate into obedience by love. And I believe that's where the fruit is. That's where the fruit is, right there. I was teaching along this line to the little study group we have in Bangalore, India. And it's a holiday. This week was a holiday week there. So it was a very small group. I don't know how many. But about halfway or two-thirds of the way through, I was just teaching something right along this line. And his presence manifested. I felt it. You know, when it just comes in the room. And, you know, I felt it, but I could see them. They're in India. When I felt it, they felt it. They all went, whew. He came in the room. What kind of revival is this going to be? When you can reach around the world with a smartphone. Dear Lord. The healing anointing break out here. Healing anointing break out there. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. All right, I've got to finish this prayer and then we'll get started. I'm already running over. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now notice when that happens. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works, according to what? The power that works in us. Unto him be glory in the church of Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Sue and I, again, we were watching a documentary right before coming down here. And they were saying, it was about Smith Wigglesworth, and they were saying many of the same miracles that I had read about before. He was quite an unusual character. But I hadn't heard this one. In Australia, they brought to him, you know, it's one thing, Smith had a reputation. These signs followed him. When it come to blind eyes, especially with children, he would pray for children that were blind for whatever reason. And he was known. It was common. I don't ever want to say common, but it would happen repeatedly that children would receive their sight. But I hadn't heard of this one. They brought one to him where the child had no eye sockets. There was not any place for eyes. It was just flat. And he prayed. And in front of everybody, God created eye sockets and eyeballs and everything, and that boy could see. To him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. I've thought to ask him, open the blind eyes. I've never thought create eyes where there is no eye. Oh my Lord. And to him, he's going, is anything too hard for the Lord? So I just want to encourage you to continue. All of this, I think, is in keeping with the blueprint prophecies and the subsequent prophecies. He's still saying, spend time with me, get alone with me. Hopefully, he's dealing with you about praying for your enemies, if you have any. He's bringing us more into being rooted and grounded in love, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. Say it though. I have a promise.
I have a promise.
Jesus said
he would manifest himself to me.
I'm holding to that promise.
Jesus,
you will manifest yourself to me.
You will exhibit in person
yourself to me. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, praise the Lord. And, okay, I can't go past this. Here's a confession for tonight's lesson. Jesus, I love you.
Jesus, I keep your commandment.
You and the Father have made your home in me.
And you manifest yourself to me.
You cannot lie.
You cannot lie.
That is the truth.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.